Why, hello there, everyone, and you are listening to
Nerd
Hello.
Alert. Girls.
Girls. Hi there, everybody. This is one of your co-hosts, Jen with the G. Oh my gosh, it's been a while, you guys. How's it going?
Hey, everybody. I am your other host, Bridget. Pronouns she, hers. I'm excited to be here talking about a Marvel thing we're excited about.
Yeah, oh my gosh. The last thing we discussed was Secret Invasion. Well, I mean, you and Caroline discussed it on the podcast. I've been
Right.
ranting and venting and foaming at the mouth and laughing at your guys' thoughts because that was garbage. But I kept telling myself, you know what? Just it's we can do this. We can do it for the Marvels. Do it for the Marvels. Nick Fury is going to be in it, lead into the Marvels. We can do this, folks. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter. Really didn't matter in the end. I could have just watched a video on YouTube or a summary on Wikipedia for that show. Whatever, I'm over it. Let's get to the Marvels. There have been two trailers dropped for this, and I was super excited when the concept was announced, but seeing the trailers just got my heart racing. I am so excited for this movie. Is it obvious that my bias for Kamala Khan is kind of filtering through here?
A little bit, but I think that's okay. You know who you are, and that is a Miss Marvel stan. Just everyone on this planet knows that I'm a Steve Rogers stan and a Miles Morales stan. It's just like what it is.
What it is. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know about you, Bridge, but that second the Marvels trailer that they showed, the final trailer, I guess, I saw that for the first time during the Barbie movie when you, me, and your mom went. Like,
Oh
that was
yeah.
new for me.
Yeah, no, it
I'm not
was
sure if you
like
watched it beforehand.
I know I watched the teaser trailer beforehand, but I'm not sure that I watched the extended one before. I can't remember. But it is very funny though that you saw it the first time while we were watching this Barbie movie, which, like, fun fact, just surpassed $1 billion in the box office, and is the first time like a female director spearheaded project has done that. So like, and this is like Marvels, which is directed and written by women and is about women, like, what a time.
Time. Oh my gosh. So here for it. Great movie, by the way. I know it's not Marvel related, but great movie. Totally happy for everyone involved with that film. And also an extra thank you for showing us the Marvels final trailer. I was delighted.
Yeah, it was a good time. Well, okay, let's dive right into it. Like, what are you most excited about? What are you thinking? What, like, was the first thing that really jumped out at you about this trailer and what you're thinking about what we're gonna see in November?
You know, it's so interesting because, like, that first trailer, you know, it seemed to have more of a fun vibe to it. You know, you get the fun music, and you could tell there's a little more funny stuff going on, mostly from a Kamala fangirling out to the her hero and to Nick Fury and such. But I noticed for that second trailer, things were a little more serious. We got a better look at the villain because in the first movie, I didn't really tell who the villain was. I just figured, all right, it seems like the bracelet that Kamala's wearing is kind of acting up, and that's what's causing her, Carol, and Monica to switch around. But like I said, the second trailer, we see the villain who his name is Dar Ben, and after a little well, quick little research. She's a minor character in the Marvel comics. She's a Kree person. So I'm like, oh, okay. I know the Kree have issues with Captain Marvel. So, okay, cool. As long as he's a little more interesting than a Jude Law's Kree character and not as pouty as Ronan the Destroyer or whatever he calls himself. I'm bored. I'm down. I'm here for it.
Yeah, well, actually, so that's an interesting point you bring up, because that was Ronan, the official title was Ronan the Accuser, and I guess it's like a thing with, like, do you remember that staff with the hammer thing that he had? Like, and you know, this new
She's
villain
got
has,
it now.
yeah, she has it now. So I think it's no, like, from what I can garner, it's like an accuser staff, like it's a thing. I don't know
Oh,
what that
okay.
entails. I don't know. The only stuff I know about the Kree are from Agents of Shield. But I have a feeling that, like, there's a lot more to the lore of Kree just from, like, a few times they have popped up in comics I've read. So, like, honestly, anything I don't know. I feel like the MCU's approach also just at large is different than Agents of Shield's approach to the Kree. So I'm not even sure how relevant my knowledge are gonna be. All I know is that, like, for the most part, they're manipulative a-holes. Like, that's like my main takeaway.
No, you just have more sense of the creed than I do because all I got is Ronan here, and like honestly, I forget about him half the time because of his poutiness. I'm just like, all right, whatever. But totally recognize the staff. I'm like, that's familiar. I thought it was destroyed, but if it's a thing in the comics, then okay, she could have picked up her own. And seems like she's got beef with our character specifically, Carol. Which, you know, if you're a superhero, you're gonna have beef with someone, usually without meaning to. Tony Stark. Sometimes not so me.
Yeah. Well, you know, okay, can I like be like, I hope I have permission to be like, I'm excited for this movie, but I like something, this trailer honestly made me go kind of yawn about the villain. Like, you know, like you took everything from me. It feels like such a cliche line. Like, and I don't know if I'm just being too harsh or what. But like I don't know, I think I'm just like part of it is like I'm fresh off the heels of Secret Invasion and like a really lackluster villain whose like motivations were like murky, and just thinking more widely about like villains whose like motivations are just like not uninteresting, but also just like not really fleshed out super well. And I'm a little bit concerned about it, but I say that with the caveat that this is just the trailer and I wanna, you know, go at it with an open mind, but like just from the trailer, I'm a little bit like, ho hum about this villain.
Oh, really? Okay. I totally get your trepidation though, because only because like for me personally, Secret Invasion was just blah, and I'm like, no, don't do this to me. Marvel, you were doing good. Just come on now. So I have my hesitation too, but I think that's more out of like out of a fangirl anxiety, if that's a thing. The villainess, I have no real opinion yet, just that she's got the staff, and I'm just like, oh. And also the whole, you took everything from me, I can't unhear that from Wanda telling that to Thanos in Endgame, so it's like another person who feels like they are owed, or maybe the hero did something that inadvertently ruined something for someone else. It happens. I mean, we saw a Spider-Man Homecoming with the Vulture, you know, so I'm curious to see what they're going to do with that. Cliche as it is, I want to see what exactly happens, especially since it seems like Dar-Ben seems to think Captain Marvel is like an executioner, like not unlike Thanos or Ronan.
Right, annihilator is the word that they
Annihilator,
use.
that's the word, yeah.
Yeah, I know, it is interesting. I mean, well, the thing is, for me, I just don't know that much about Carol and like what she has been up to. Like that's one of the things that has been like very, very murky to me. Like she's in deep space doing stuff. That's like the only thing that I've known about like the things that she's been up to, right? I mean, I certainly thought about it a lot with Secret Invasion and like the scrolls and all of that. It's just like, what has Carol been doing? Like, and like I come at it, I come at it with like as a genuine question. I don't mean to be like accusatory. Like I'm just like, it's a real mystery to me, and that's not necessarily a problem, you know. But it is something that I'm starting to chomp at the bit to like really get into, because like how does someone think that you're an annihilator? Like, what exactly has Carol been doing? And I don't know, like the only like I don't I just I'm still trying I'm just trying to theorize on what it is that she could be doing, and I'm curious if you have any ideas as someone who maybe is more attuned to that character.
I'm not as familiar with Carol Danvers, mostly because I have anything I've happened to read from her happened to be in association with the Ms. Marvel comics I've read, or the She-Hulk, or the Spider-Woman comics I've read. You know, because Captain Marvel's sort of like the female token BFF to all the other females. So what I've seen from there, it's almost like she's like a one-woman police force of the galaxy, like. But mostly for big stuff. When it comes to like little squabbles, you know, she kind of ignores that. But when it comes to like big things like civil wars and such, or like impending war between planets or species, that's when she delves in. And she also acts as like an ambassador of sorts, where she sort of tries to ease tensions between species or planets that have had bad blood for like centuries or what have you. So I'm thinking maybe that's an idea of what they're having her do. I don't know either. Like, I'm looking at Wikipedia right now, and Brie Larson, the actress playing Carol, says that this movie is sort of like a way to get Carol to sort of dive into her character, check out her complexities, you know, because we only got the origin story from the first Captain Marvel, but this one's more like it's been years. We get to see what she's been doing this whole time, what the snap affected her, and how she went from like a human fire pilot with like a great heart and best friends to like a workaholic who kind of lost touch with all that. So hopefully that's exactly what we're getting into, because you know me, I am totally here for giving characters complexities and such, especially since we don't know much about Carol other than she's the super badass, overpowered character that Nick Fury kind of relies on. You know, that's all we got so far, unfortunately.
Right. I mean, and I do like it has been a minute since I watched the first since I watched the Captain Marvel movie, but like I remember be like, you know, her friendship with not Monica, Maria Rambeau,
Maria, yeah.
like so fundamental to like that movie and like, you know, and it's and that's honestly what I'm more excited about than what it whatever it is that this villain is like fighting her about, you know, just based on the knowledge that I have. Like I'm, you know, there could be other stuff that like as we peel back the villain's backstory, I'd be more interested. But honestly though, like I really hope that the emotional core of this movie will be about, you know, the Rambos and Carol, because I mean she's like been gone. Like she wasn't even around when Maria had cancer, like, you know, as far as we can tell. And like we know from WandaVision that like Monica has some kind feels some kind of way about, you know, Captain Marvel. And like I, you know, I got the sense that it was like neglect slash abandonment, right? I mean,
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
you know, because Carol kind of felt like a second mother for her, I feel like, in a lot of ways, or at least a best friend. I, you know, like, and like so the, you know, she's a grown woman now, and like, you know, from the little bits we get in like the trailer, you can tell that there's like this level of tension, right? It's like we're not a team, you know, when Captain Marvel switches places with Kamala in like her family's living room, and she has like awkward little hi, you know that she's directing her gaze right at Monica, you know, like there's
Oh, for
tension,
sure.
there's history there, and like, you know, what is that about? I mean, because that is pretty brutal to not be around for so long. As it was, she was already gone for a really long time in Captain Marvel, and then came back, oh, we're friends again, and then gone again. Like I can only imagine like how that would feel for Monica, and I really want to peel that back for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because sometimes I forget just how strong that tension is, because I kind of sort of forgot about Carol and Monica a little bit, just because it's kind of been a minute for me as well with Captain Marvel and WandaVision. The tension is definitely there, you know. Monica, you could tell she's getting used to her powers that she got after WandaVision, which shout out to Jimmy Woo. We're going to see him again from what I hear. Ah! But anyway, so there's that tension, and a part of me hopes that they can figure something out, that Carol apologizes or at least offers an explanation, like not an excuse, because you know Monica's allowed to feel hurt and abandoned and such, you know. Because from what I remember of Captain Marvel, Carol was like her second mother, you know, Monica's second mother. She just loved her, and Carol loved her too. So it's one thing if like you get your powers in an accident, you're gone forever because you have amnesia or whatever, you know, that can be excused. After that, what's going on here? What's why'd you go, you know? I don't
Right.
know how much she was helping the Skrull, if she was even a part of that, if or if she was just all over the galaxy. I genuinely have no idea.
Really don't know. I mean, and it reminds me a little bit too of like, you know, Thor and like his issues with like Jane and like the longest long distance relationship you could think of, you know. Obviously, if this is like a romantic relationship versus, you know, like kind of a mother daughter relationship like they have, but like, you know, that the whole like you were gone, it's like, well, I had to save the universe, you know, kind of thing. And like, you know, it's difficult to not take that personally, right? Like whatever like Carol's reasons were, and I think some of it is just from like maybe the trauma after Endgame, but even before that she was gone for a long time, it seems like. So like,
Exactly, yeah.
yeah. So like, what is the deal? I don't know.
Gosh, I really hope they delve into that. I'll be very upset if they don't, but I don't think, oh man, I want to say I don't think Marvel would skim over that, but I don't know, man.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so I'm excited to dig into that though. Like, you know, and like I don't know, there's another hint at the tension too, because there's that line from Monica, right? Where Carol is kind of like the whole like, I have to protect people, I can't let other people into this. She's like, it's not just you, you know, standing, only you standing against like between this and the universe. I forget the exact line, right? But like
Oh, that
basically
was a
like,
great line. I
yeah.
love it.
Like basically like don't stop carrying the whole world on your shoulders, like it, like, you know. And like I don't know, I think that's really interesting, like if Carol has been operating as a lone wolf this whole time, maybe part of her character growth is understanding interconnectedness and community and the need to rely on others, especially when you think, you know, with the interconnectedness of the light powers, right? And like literally they're switching places, literally their light powers are connected. And they have to work in tandem because every time they use, you know, one of them uses their powers, they switch places with another one, you know, like, so it requires cooperation and partnership and communication. Like, and none of these seem to be, at least right now, Carol's strong suit, to be perfectly honest, right? And so, like, quite literally, she is forced to work in a team and in a community. And so I'm really excited to see how what that peels back, but I would imagine that's certainly a big part of the reason why she's been gone for so long. It's just like, I have to take this on myself to protect those I love from getting hurt, and you know, which you see a lot in like superhero media and everything. So like totally and totally understandable as well. But you know, especially when like you come like I don't know, I wonder if part of it too is like Monica's like, don't treat me like a little kid, like I am a full grown woman and you need to treat me as such too. I just wonder if there's going to be some of that as well, like that Carol kind of still thinks of her as that little girl.
I kind of wonder about that. I was kind of wondering about what the dynamic's going to look like between them now, because it's like you said, we've got Monica, who was a child when Carol last saw her, but now she's a grown up. I wonder if there's going to be a part of Carol that does see Monica as a little girl, or if she'll be floundering because it went from 13 going on 30 here, and she's like, well, what do I do with this, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Oh, and speaking of the light switching powers, I did want to touch on this, especially because like I feel like I keep hearing like these random casting rumors about Fantastic Four, but it took me back to the Fantastic Four Silver Surfer movie where I forget even how this happened because it's been so long since I've seen the movie, but like Johnny Storm like gets in contact with some space thing. I don't know if it was a Silver Surfer like touching his board or something, and then whenever he touched the others, like they would switch powers. Do you remember that?
I kind of remember that, yeah.
Yeah, I like low key want to rewatch the movie just to kind of remember and just because the concept was so familiar to me. I'm like, huh, I feel like I've kind of seen this before. I mean, this is different, right? Because they're like literally switching places. I don't, they're not like, I forget. Did they say if they're like specific switching powers as well? Or I think so, right? Is that what they were saying?
I'm not 100% about that one. It just seems like the place switching. In terms of their powers, it's almost like they realize just how linked their powers are, because it's like one can throw the light, one can notice it, and one can kind of reshape it. Again, I don't think they switch powers because I didn't see anything in the trailer, but I think it's just the places that they're
Okay.
switching for the time being.
But still, it was like a similar thing where like Yeah, and like that, I feel like that is an opportunity for hijinks because I do remember that from the Silver Surfer movie and that being pretty funny. I know everyone like is kind of whatever about the the original Fantastic Four movies, but I think we've all come to appreciate them more after Fantastic. So, I feel like I feel comfortable saying
Oh, yes.
I feel comfortable saying like I actually like Silver Surfer. Like it's so goofy, but like it's been years since I've watched it, but like I remember every time I've seen it, I'm going like that was a fun time. Like but like I don't know that I like you said, Jen, like there's like more seriousness to like this trailer, so I don't know how much of like comedy we'll get from that. But I mean, one funny bit I know we have already. One funny bit that we got already was, Miss Marvel was seeing the Flerkin goose at work and she just screams her head off and that was great.
Oh my gosh, right? I swear, I feel like Kamala is going to be kind of carrying the humor here, partially because of her youthful enthusiasm and partially because she's just gushing. Like, Carol Danvers is in her life, Monica Rambeau is in her life. She saw Nick Fury, like, even when, like, in the first trailer when she and Monica switch places and she's like t being tossed around in space and she's like, oh, and then boom, there's Nick Fury and she's like, oh, like Nick Fury, I'm just like, oh my gosh, it's so relatable, and that's partially why it's so funny. And the fact that like she's obviously the only one who wants this team up, like Monica and Carol are like, no. Kamala's just like, we're a team, we're besties. So she might be carrying the humor here. And as for Goose, I am very glad to see that he's back. That is, oh my gosh. The fact that he went to work, like you said, I'm just like, oh, here we go. Let's go. And the fact that we see more cats, yes. Yes. I want more of the Flerkins.
More Flerkins, please. Yeah, there could never be enough Flerkins.
Never enough.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about though Miss Marvel, Kamala appearing here. Thoughts, feelings, hopes, dreams.
So happy. I am so happy. Like, oh my gosh, I haven't stopped grinning ever since they casted her, made a successful Marvel show about her. The fact that she's in her movie and the fact that the actress, Iman Vellani, is getting so much love for it. And she's having a great time. Like, she literally practiced parkour so she can get Kamala's movement right for the film. Like, how much dedication do you need? I am thrilled that she's back.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. She just seems like the kind of person to, while doing parkour, to say parkour as she's doing parkour. She just seems like
Oh my gosh.
that
Yes. Oh my god. There's got to be a video of her doing that somewhere.
kind of
I'm
person.
sure.
Please give it to me. Yeah.
Yeah, so super happy, super excited that she's back. She hasn't been recasted. She hasn't been canceled. We
Oh,
want her back. She is Miss Marvel. She will always be Miss Marvel. Please keep her.
yes, let me hug her too.
Yes, please. Oh my gosh.
Okay, and then I'm gonna do my sidebar about Park Seo-joon, who is just listed as an ally of Danvers. I don't know what that means.
I know. I'm just like, we don't have a name for this ally.
Yeah,
Great.
I'm like, okay, but I just have to take this a special aside too because this actor is a South Korean actor who's appeared in a lot of K-dramas. And I watch a lot of K-dramas, and I haven't seen anything that he's in. Like, the most famous examples are, like, I would say is What's Wrong with Secretary Kim, and maybe She Was Pretty, too. Like, I've heard that one a lot. So, basically, my goal between now and November is to watch at least one of these K-dramas so I can be like, all right, this is how I'm going to compare him as a K-drama actor versus in Marvel. Because that's just, like, really funny to me. Like, that's a total... I know that's a total tangent, but like I just think that's fun. That just, he's coming in. We haven't even heard him speak, right? We've only heard him yell.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what like kind of character this is gonna be and just what that's gonna, I don't know. That's just fun. And it's just like a fun crossover between like two interests of mine, which is Marvel and K-dramas. It's funny. I like it.
Nothing wrong with that. I freak every time like I see something Marvel related in something else I watch or read, and then vice versa. Like I freak out.
Yeah.
Especially like don't even get me started on Marvel actors being in DC movies or DC actors being in Marvel movies, I lose my mind.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that's just like a little, like, hold me to it. Bridget, have you seen any of his K-dramas yet? I'm like, no, I gotta get on it. I have a long list to get through. But yeah. Anything else
Don't
though
we
you want
all?
to say about the trailers and about the Marvels in general and what you think? I guess, should we talk about Nick Fury?
Like, no. He looks Nick Fury-ish, you know, with his cape and his eye patch. I don't see his wife anywhere whose name I've forgotten. I am so sorry.
Shoot, so did I. I know that we said that we would forget and we forgot. Spoilers for Secret
We
Invasion,
forgot.
also, sorry.
But yeah, I have no real interest in him. I know he's kind of sort of the mediator between our Marvel women. I'm sorry that he has to be. It couldn't have just been Jimmy Woo. He would have been just fine. Whatever.
I
Whatever.
mean, it just really depends on what he's going to be doing in outer space. Is it even going to be related to Secret Invasion? I kind of just wonder if it even is. I don't know. The
I
vibe
don't
just feels so
know.
different, right? This feels like such a different Nick Fury than what we saw in Secret Invasion. I know we've only seen clips, but like, doesn't it feel different? Like, we're seeing different
Totally
versions of the character?
does.
Yeah.
It's like Secret Invasion never happened. Like,
Yes.
what?
And it makes me
That's the
feel
Nick Fury
double.
we all saw. Like, what?
It makes me feel double mad that I wasted my time with Secret Invasion, but okay, whatever, whatever.
I will always be salty about this. In fact, I erase it from my memory. If they bring it up in the movie, I'm gonna be like, oh, that must have been a side plot that I have never seen before. Oh my. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, like, obviously there's going to be a lot of place switching, and I'm guessing, you know, Carol and Monica are going to reconcile, and they're going to like get used to Kamala, even though part of me wants them to kind of adopt her a little bit, but she's got a loving family. We're not going to take her away from her loving family, who is back. I am very appreciative of that. But yeah, I do want Carol to be the mentor that Kamala wants and needs and was before Civil War Part Two, because they did have a good mentor-mentee relationship. Very strong, very like warm and open. Loved it, you know. So hopefully the three girls bond, reconcile, and maybe Carol will stay on Earth for a little while, something, I don't know, or Monica might even go with her. Villain's obviously going to be defeated, whether she's a ficus or something, a force to be reckoned with. And I'm trying to think if it might lead into any other Marvel-related projects, but nothing I can think of, at least until Monica gets her own spin-off, which fingers crossed.
One other thing I do want to mention as we're talking about this too is like we mentioned this when we first saw that Ms. Marvel's powers were changed to be more light-based and like wondering like, oh, I wonder why that is, right? Because we weren't necessarily super clingy about like it has to be like it is in the comics, but we were curious about why. So
Exactly. Here's
yeah,
why.
here's why they wanted to do that like whole switcheroo thing, which would make less sense if like it was like the original version of her powers. So like, okay, you know, all right, we see how it's, you know, justified in terms of that and that decision, which again, we weren't mad about. I don't remember us being mad about it. We were just more curious. I'm like, huh, I wonder why they did that change. Okay, there you go.
I was frustrated at first, but then I kind of let it go because I'm just like, you know what? I'm enjoying everything else about it. Let it go. So yeah, definitely makes a lot more sense than if we were to keep Kamala's embiggening powers, so to speak. Not to mention the bangle with the cosmic energy. You know, some things are tying together, and I'm pretty sure
Yeah.
they're going to have other plots later along the line that has to do with lights and bangles and such. So all right. Marvel, I'll give you this one. Just don't taint this amazing character, by the way.
I mean, it seems like they're doing good so far. I mean, her little hi, she's so cute. I love her so much. I think okay, on my like the list that I have for like must watch before November. Top of the list is Captain Marvel because it's been too long since I've watched that. So we
Same.
gotta do that. Yeah, gotta rewatch that. We'll make a movie night out of it. So do that,
Yeah.
And then I think we should rewatch the Ms. Marvel, because I feel like the fact that the bangle is actually going to be incorporated, it seems like, into the like mythology and lore of this, movie, I feel like it would be pertinent to like rewatch it, or at least some of it. So goal number two on the watch list. And then yeah, number three is watching the Park Seo-joon in one of his dramas. So that's my list. That's my three things I gotta get through before November. I have time. But I do have homework.
Self-assigned homework. This is post-college life, folks.
Living the dream.
But yeah, this is probably the first MCU thing I've been excited for a while. Loki season two, bring it on. We'll talk about it when it does premiere in October on my birthday. Thanks. Happy birthday, me.
Listen, you get
Whatever.
Mobius back. That's your happy birthday present.
Should I get Kraven the Hunter, the movie with Aaron Taylor Johnson? I know it's not like MCU, but it's part of the Venom universe. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'll accept that as my Marvel-related birthday present. And Mobius, oh, I'll always accept Mobius in any capacity as long as he is not dead or ruined beyond repair. That man deserves great things.
Do not even speak that into existence, Jen. Oh my gosh. Knock on wood.
He's gonna ski.
Yeah.
That's what I'm speaking into existence.
Yeah. Well, anything else you want to talk about in terms of the Marvels and the trailer?
I am super excited. I cannot wait to talk about this movie. Come on, November, let's go.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We always appreciate your support. If you can rate us and review us on wherever you listen to your podcast, much appreciated. Or tell your friends. We just love hearing from y'all too. So if you want to email us at nerdalertgirlspodcast@gmail.com, or is that right? nerdalertgirlspodcast@gmail.com. It has been a while since I've rattled off our own email. That's crazy.
Oh my gosh. We'll put it
I'll
in the description
put it
just
in
in
the
case.
description. No, yeah, it is nerdalertgirlspodcast@gmail.com. Whew, okay. Yeah, I need to do a better job at plugging our contact info. Anyway, so thank you all so much for listening, and we look forward to coming back again to talk about anything else Marvel from now until November. Woo-hoo!
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening and join us again next time on Twitter.
Nerd
Learn.
girls.
Girls, adios.